Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Hey, thank you for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you here today. Thank you very much for joining us on this broadcast. It's also always a pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio in our series, the incomparable Maureen Santora. As we've mentioned on multiple occasions, Maureen is extraordinary. She is an educator's educator since 1967. She's really made education at the forefront of her life and a true passion, dedicating her life to education, personally, of course, as a parent, but also as one who has taught since 1967. She's retired now, but she's never put the chalk away. And the reason why is she cares too much. And if you've been following our extraordinary series together, you've had opportunities to hear some amazing conversations exclusively here on Close Up Radio as far as Maureen's viewpoint and methodologies, as far as really bringing the parent and the teacher together. And also going back to some of the fundamentals of teaching and education that we sort of have strayed away from. Also keeping the schools safe, dealing with some of the current issues in terms of safety, and also dealing with the way teaching has been happening over the last few years versus what the initial outset of education was really designed for. A vocal advocate and a notable expert in the field, also supporting families, students, and other professionals in shaping curriculum, sharing effective methods, and creating programs and policies as well. Also notable contributions to education as she and her husband established the Christopher Santora Educational Scholarship Fund in honor of her son, Christopher. And of course, we mentioned he was a history major and substitute teacher, firefighter, and he had passed in the September 11th national tragedy. This scholarship fund is extraordinary, and it's helped students really get a leg up on their education and on their lives. She's passionate. She's enthusiastic. If you if you ever have something and you need somebody who's energetic, Maureen Santora is the person you want in your corner, because when she believes in something and when she's in your corner, it's unbelievable what gets done. She has this they gravitate to Maureen because of her personality, because of her humor, but her wit and wisdom, yes, but really because of a passion that they see. They understand that she truly cares. She truly listens. And, you know, I keep telling her she should run for mayor, governor, or president. she's telling me she'll get back to me on that. But she's a can-do person. And when she believes in something, in education, she has believed in for decades, she's all in. And she continues to be. She could be retired and, you know, have her feet in the hammock, sand in Miami, but she's chosen to continue the good fight. I'm on location, actually, for a close-up television project in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Maureen is on location right now in Pennsylvania. So we're coming together here to continue the story of Maureen Santora, the education advocate, as we welcome her back and we continue our series together today on Close Up Radio. Maureen, it's always a pleasure when we get a chance to chat. This is sort of our Monday coffee chat. I look forward to these. And I hope you're doing well and welcome
Jim,
back.
It's good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Yes, and I'm glad to be back. And glad
it's always
to be heard
a pleasure.
As well.
Well, that's the thing, because glad to be here. Well, the thing is, you have such passion, and I mentioned that. And there's a few things that you wanted to touch upon that are very near and dear to you on this episode. Tell us about some of the things that are on your mind today that you'd like to share with our listeners, Maureen.
Well, I want to touch upon a couple of things. The first thing I want to touch upon is the fact that we are having a massive nationwide teacher shortage in America. And as I was hearing this on the news, I was, you know, trying to figure out how this could happen. And so here are some of my thoughts about it. I think during COVID, many teachers were demonized. And I also believe that the teachers union, the American Federation of Teachers, did a very poor job on bringing up teachers. And they had a lot of demands. And they, you know, did a lot of things, I think, that were contra to good education. So I think that's one thing that happened. I think another thing is that in many areas across the United States, teachers do not get paid very well. And, you know, you have to have a bachelor's degree in order to be. And in some states, like New York, you have to have a master's degree within 5 years. So you are a person who has studied for a very long time. And if you're getting a salary that is not commensurate with your peers who are in other professions, I guess, you know, for some, that's a detriment, you know. I always felt that teaching was a calling, and most teachers never went into the profession for the money. But, you know, in today's world with, you know, inflation and all the things that are going on, I guess this has become a consideration. And some feel that their working conditions could be better. So they're leaving the system. I think the major reason, however, for teachers leaving are the political issues with this woke community that has kind of infiltrated all of the school system. Teachers are now in many states required to teach transgender education. They're required to do this in early childhood classes, which is not age appropriate at all, and in upper grades as well. They're required to teach critical race theory, where they are telling children that if they are Caucasian or white, that they are bad, and if they are of color, they are good. That is absolutely outrageous, outrageous. Most kids don't have a color, you know, problem. They have friends based upon their interests and based upon what they like to do. And so to instill this in young children is really outrageous, in my opinion. And then the final thing is that many of these communities are being required to teach a different history than the history that we grew up in. Our history started in 1776. It did not start. Now, we certainly had colonies prior to that, and we certainly had slavery prior to that. But we, as a nation, did not begin until 1776. And so when you're teaching American history, you in the 1600s, American history, because it was not. It was European history that came into the United States. So I think teachers are very upset about this because they are required to teach these things, and many of them disagree. As I would say, the majority of American citizens disagree with this new policy that is being perpetuated in the system. The second thing I'd like to talk about is what the definition of education, what is an educated person? Who is an educated person? And I asked a lot of people, you know, during the week, to define what they considered an educated person. Now, an educated person is not necessarily a person with great intelligence. They're two separate things. And maybe next week I'll talk, you know, or the week after I'll talk about, you know, intelligence as opposed to an educated person. But I'd like to spend some time on the definition of an educated person. And as the listeners are listening, maybe they can come up with what they consider an educated person to be. And even you, Jim, what you know, would you consider an educated person? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, fantastic. I think an educated person, and there are lots of different definitions of it, like you say, which I think is a wonderful approach. It isn't a one-size-fits-all. However, I think it's somebody who has had the ability to be able to acquire knowledge. Obviously, if somebody has been a student of Maureen Santora, they're going to be, there's no way they're going to come out of her classroom without some knowledge instilled. Knowledge of not just about the facts and figures and the historical moments and the nuts and bolts of 2 + 2 = 4, but about life and living and relationships and how to get along with other people and how to treat people right and respect. So I think in terms of education, I think it's knowledge building. It's continuing to build on knowledge from, you know, materials that are of an expert level, but also it's a personal development that happens in the human, in the person. You're getting educated about how to deal with life and people and that and relationships, and not everything is always going to be your way or the highway. And that when you're a student and you're interested in all of these different topics of life and possible career development, you are someone who becomes well-rounded in life. You pull in knowledge from a lot of different topics and build on that. You'll have your thing that you're interested in the most that you'll perfect and that will probably be your career, but that underneath that, you'll still have knowledge building and you'll continue to be educated in ways that will go on throughout the rest of your life. So the tone that the teachers initially set, the tone that the parents also have to set at home, need to blend, and that will then create a perfect atmosphere for learning, but also the development and enrichment of one's life through education. So and this is the keen thing about whom you are, Maureen Santora, is the fact that you know these things. This is the nuts and bolts of teaching and all of the things about, you know, the history and about mathematics and science and English and reading and writing and all those things we have to know, but also about how one should treat others and about, you know, because you can have all this knowledge, but if you're not the nicest person on the planet, the knowledge isn't really going to go far. So I think it's a lifelong situation that starts with the parents at home and then it's complemented by school and then it just continues for the rest of your life.
That's absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, but yeah. that is the answer. We agree, wholeheartedly together. I wrote a definition and I said that a person who is educated is a person who has learned both basic and academic skills that enables him or her to communicate effectively and engage in the world around him or them through work, other people, and experience. And then I went around and I asked, several people, they didn't know how to answer the question initially, but when they thought about it, they gave me some really terrific answer. One person wrote, said to me, an educated person is a person who loves to learn throughout life, a lifelong learner. I thought that was superb.
Yeah.
Several others said, well, there should be some kind of formal schooling and knows why and seeks questions and is a problem solver and engaged in the world around them throughout life as someone who reads and someone who can compute, so do basic math, not necessarily, trigonometry and algebra, but can, add a checkbook and be, and if they go into mathematics, certainly they would, advance. Somebody else said, an educated person is a person who is able to see things, figure out complex problems, critical thinker, can go beyond a formal education. And I think that's key. I think, an educated person does not only have to go to school for a very long time to become educated. It is the attitude that they have toward learning that makes them educated. So, if you are a person that goes to a PhD, but you've never had any life experiences, and you've never, as you said, communicates well with others, then your knowledge is lost. It's lost because an educated person wants to share what they've learned, and as they get older, they become more experienced. And someone who, here is another one, an educated person is driven to learn new things, and I think that's core, interested in learning everything, someone who loves to read and to learn. And then somebody else wrote, an educated person is smart, has a good vocabulary, he's logical when he speaks or she speaks, and makes sense to everybody who is listening. He has some world knowledge, he could be street smart, and some formal schooling. And, you know, when I listen to all of these people comment, you know, on, and some of them were, you know, in conversations, and others were, you know, like on the internet, because I wanted to get a variety of views, and so these are only some of them. It came to mind, there's a very famous book that was written a long, long time ago, and the title of it is All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And all these qualities, sharing, cooperating, problem solving, taking turns, patience, being able to wait your turn, not pouting if you don't get your way, and we certainly have a lot of that today, listening to others, and following rules and learning new things are all things that you learn in kindergarten, but they also set you up for a lifetime of learning throughout your, you know, your career. A long time ago, when I was in college, I had a friend who had never been to formal school. He came from a small town in Tennessee, and he came to the college that I attended, and he had never been to school, but he read every single book in his hometown library before he came to college. He was brilliant as a person, but his eagerness to learn and to be social and to be around people made him probably the most educated person I have ever met. And of course he went on, you know, when he graduated, he got scholarships to Harvard and he went on to Oxford, and I don't know what he's doing now, but he was one of the nicest, kindest, most generous people, you know, and he sat in the library day after day, and he read, I would say, 3/4 of the books in the college library, which is saying a lot, but he was an avid reader, and he was very interested in the world and in other people. And I think that makes an educated person as well. You know, you don't necessarily need formal education, and we now have, you know, lots of parents who are having their kids do homeschooling. Well, they are educated if their attitudes become what we have just discussed about the cooperation and the loving to learn and the being able to communicate effectively. Those are things that make you an educated person. And teachers, that's their job. That's their job, is to create students who love to learn throughout their life. And today, with all of the restrictions that they have, you know, and I think this is, you know, something that it's very frustrating to teachers, and why we're having so many problems, you know, getting teachers is because what they want to do is they want to teach, and they want to have these aha moments that I've mentioned before, where a child will ask something that is not on the strict, you know, curriculum, but is offside in some way, connected but not exactly on the same topic, and you capitalize that on that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then that student, if he wants to pursue that, he can pursue it, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, and it's okay. But you've capitalized on this aha moment that is important in teaching a skill, a value, a moral, you know, or whatever, you know, it comes to mind at the moment, and you go off track a little bit. Teachers need to do that, because those are the gems of teaching. Those are the opportunities that teachers must have in order to create a lifetime learner. You cannot only be on a script saying, well, listen, I can't answer your question because I'm on page 124 and the principal says I can't, you know, I have to ask this question now. That's not teaching. And so I think many teachers, especially those who have been in the system for a few years, are leaving the system because they're very frustrated that they're not able to teach. Now, certainly you need to teach, you know, the curriculum, and you need to get through in the year, you know, what is required for every grade. But during that year, you should have the flexibility to be able to go off track a little bit, if that's what's called for, and be able to use your professional experience and your professional inquiry, you know, to be able to get these children to want to be lifetime learners. So, you know, I think, you know, parents who are listening and even adults should think about what they consider an educated person, because it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to college. You can be a very educated person and have never gone to college. Maybe you are very skilled mechanically. I'm not mechanically skilled at all. So I admire all the people who are mechanically skilled and can, you know, fix things and see a puzzle and say, oh, I know how this puzzle goes together. I don't have that skill as well. I struggle with that skill. But there are people who see that as an easy thing to do, and some of them are very educated. So I think we need to kind of expand our view of what an educated person is, because it's not only the college graduate or the MIT graduate or the Harvard graduate who is educated. Many times it's other people in your neighborhood, on your street, in your community, who you consider very educated because they love to learn and they're open to a variety of viewpoints. So that's, you know, what I think is important for, you know, everybody to, as they're approaching the beginning of the school year, to, you know, hopefully have their children become educated young people.
So beautifully said. This is why I said what I said in the beginning, Maureen. You are just so incredibly gifted at being able to put in words what really matters most. And again, do it in a way that is very relatable to anybody that would be listening, and they would feel it. They'd feel your passion and your enthusiasm, and that is crucial to what you're doing. You know, you got to get back to the basics, right? It seems like, I guess,
absolutely,
on many levels, we have strayed away from the basics. And when you look at some of the stats, even talk about America really starting to fall behind a lot of other countries you would never have expected to fall behind in education. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that's absolutely key. I think we have, you know, become educators of a lot of fluff, which I consider things that, you know, are nice after you've learned the basics, but shouldn't be the primary. I definitely think, you know, we're in a computer age now, so everything is easily accessible, you know, in terms of knowledge. But people still need to learn to add and subtract and multiply and divide. They still need to learn to read and to read books, and not read books that have pictures in them. You know, a lot of the new stories that my grandchildren like to read are stories that have all these cartoon pictures. Well, that's not the same as reading a book where you have to imagine in your head what the scene is. It's not visual for you on a picture. It is visual for you in your head. And we need to get back to that. I think that's very, very important. And I certainly think in the lower grades, the basics of learning to read and the learning to love reading and being able to just write have a journal, for example, when you're in third or fourth grade, where you just write your thoughts down and nobody looks at what you're reading, but you're expressing yourself. And then periodically having the teacher say, well, can I look at your writing, or, you know, is there a section you want me to take a look at? And so the teacher then has an idea of, you know, if there's grammar issues or punctuation issues, which should be taught. And I certainly think cursive writing should come back into all the classrooms. I don't know whether they are in all the states in America, but in New York State, we don't teach cursive writing. Nobody learns how to write a script anymore. It's not part of the curriculum, which is outrageous, because whenever you're going to, you know, fill out a form, you have to be able to sign your name in script. So you have to have some knowledge of you know, cursive writing in order to be able to sign your name. And, you know, people learn it on their own, so the writing has deteriorated tremendously. And if you scribble something, you say, well, this is my name, but you haven't learned to, you know, write the R's and the N's and the M's and all of this, you know, which you should be learning to do, and it should be, you know. And you know, the new computers, nobody spells correctly. Nobody can spell because everything is abbreviated now. And even to the point where you use only individual letters assigned to words. So, you know, like for me, when I have a son-in-law who does this all the time, and I have to write to him and say, I don't know what you said, because he only puts letters down. And I need to see him writing the words because I don't know what all these abbreviated letters are, you know, and it's very frustrating. So I say, just call me on the phone because I can't understand you, you know. But he laughs and he says, oh, yeah, you know, you're old-fashioned. Yes, I am old-fashioned, and it's okay. Just call me on the phone and tell me. But those are things that everybody should learn, and they should learn American history, and they should be proud of their country, and they should, you know, we are not, you know, a nation of bad people, which is what this, you know, whole woke society is trying to pretend, that Americans are really inferior in a lot of ways. Well, you can't accomplish anything if you only feel you are inferior. You can only accomplish things when you think you have a chance to be successful. So if you're beating people down and telling them, well, they're no good because of a color or a religion or whatever now is the new ticket, you know, you're never going to get people who are successful in life. You can only do that through compliments and hard work and, you know, through toil, as they say, you know. And I think we need to have more repetition, and we need to have the learning of the basic skills, and that should be primary in every single school. It should be primary. And then if you want to go on to what I consider fluff, you know, activities, and the kids are age appropriate, and well, you can tackle those, but you definitely need to have debates on this. You can't have a one-sided opinion, and teachers are not supposed to give their opinion about how they feel on any topic. They're supposed to be neutral, and they're supposed to engage conversations with their students so that both sides are always represented. And that's not happening today. It's not. So I think that's, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, we're losing teachers, and one of the reasons that our status in the world has gone down profoundly. When I was in school, we were the number one dog, and people wanted to come to America to go to college because we had the top colleges in the world. That no longer is true. And it's no longer true because lower grades are not doing what they used to do when I was in school. And I know a lot has changed, and I understand change is good and powerful, but some things need to be kept, and the basics need to be kept.
That's so very true. Absolutely. So beautifully said, as always. We've got about maybe less than a minute, but maybe quickly you can slip in the information about the Christopher Centura Educational Scholarship Fund, which we love to make mention of as well.
All right. Well, and for anybody who has a high school senior, a student going into high school as a senior, they can apply for a $2,000 scholarship by writing to my email, MaureenSantura@yahoo.com, and in the subject area, put scholarship. And I will send them all the information. The scholarship entries have to be, and it's a question that if it's misjudge without the student, and they make this year win a $2,000 scholarship. So we continue to collect money, and depending upon how much term and time scholarships we can give.
That's fantastic. Extraordinary, Maureen. Thanks for joining us once again. We look forward to chatting next week on Close Up Radio as well. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jim. It's a beautiful place.
Absolutely. And you enjoy Pennsylvania, another beautiful place as well. Really extraordinary. We thank education advocate Maureen Centura for joining us once again here on Close Up Radio. And we thank you for joining us. She'll be back next week at the same time with me here on the program. And always looking forward to that. She really is an extraordinary person, an extraordinary human being. Maureen Centura, education advocate on the Close Up Radio series together. Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest right here for you in Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, this is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay with us. More great programs coming up. Till then, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.